to the Operation Christmas Child family. I'm Edward Graham, and I want you to know right now is the time that Operation Christmas Child is equipped with the resources and materials to go out and make a difference in the world. Children are hurting throughout the world. There's a lot of pain and turmoil. Look at Afghanistan right now. All that's going on, this is a complete failure of man. Man cannot solve the problem. Only Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, can solve the issues of Afghanistan or around the world for that matter. As I've been fighting in Afghanistan for years in my past career, I saw many children suffer. And what I love about Operation Christmas Child now, I actually get to have good experiences around children where we take shoeboxes full of toys. But it's not about the toys and making them smile. That is fun, and I enjoy that part of it. But what I love most is the gospel presentation, where I get to see and watch their faces. For many, for the first time, they clearly hear the gospel of Jesus Christ presented in their language. Operation Christmas Child is not about making children smile. It's not about passing out gifts. It's evangelism. And the time is now. The world is hurting. These kids are in dark days. The pandemic with COVID has shut down many of the world. There's wars. There's famine. The Bible tells us about these times. But as a church, as a body of Christ, the time is now to do something better. No better organization, no better ministry than Operation Christmas Child to get behind and to support with your time, your energy, and your resources. So I thank you for all the work, especially our volunteers that put in countless hours to make this happen. We can't do it without you. But I love this ministry. I remember when Dad started it and adopted it from another organization. But when they made it committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, it took off. And it took off because God blessed it. I believe He put His hand on it because it was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to the least of these. So thank you. I look forward to seeing you out there this season. And it's going to be a great time sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
All right. If you want to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 43. And this week I was blessed to go out and speak at the nursing home Wednesday and share with the people out there. And it's always more of a blessing to me, I'm sure, than it is to them. But God had kind of laid on my heart a passage, this passage. And I thought, you know, I want to share this with them because it's a comfort passage. And so I shared it, and as I'm walking out, I told Stephanie, I said, there's more in this passage. I didn't feel like in my mind, I didn't feel like I was doing it justice if I was just going to share just the comforts of this passage. And so I said, don't be surprised if you get to hear this again. So Judy and Stephanie get to hear it a second time, but it'll probably be, every time I hear it, it's different, and so who knows where we're going to be on that. But anyway, we will be in Isaiah 43, verses 1, 2, and half of 3. So if you would read along with me on this. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I thank you for not giving up on us, for Lord, keeping us where you want us, watching over us. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move in such a way today that it would change me, that you'd teach me and you'd show me, Lord, what you have for me from this passage. Lord, as we go through this passage, I pray that your Spirit would move in this place in such a mighty way, such a mighty, mighty way, we would get out of the way and let you take control. I thank you and I praise you for what you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, this is an Old Testament passage, but as I was studying earlier this week in Romans, in one of the commentaries it said they love the way Paul takes a passage that was written to the children of Israel, and he would take it and he would share exactly how that fit with the people of his day. And then also it fits the same with us today. And so as we look at this scripture and we look at this passage, Yes, it was written for them, and it talks about, O Jacob and O Israel, but it's talking about the people that God loved. And I want you to understand that this passage, though it was written back then and though it was quoted in the New Testament times, it needs to be lived out today. And so as we look at this, I want to start by just coming up and saying, you know, there are so many times in my life and your life too that somebody comes up to you, you're in the middle of some kind of trouble, you're in the middle of some kind of situation, and things are not going well. And with every ounce of loving spirit, they come up to you and they say, it's okay, you're going to get through this. And we have that idea that there's comfort. But you know, in the back of my mind, I'm going to tell you what I think. You don't know where I'm standing. You don't know where I'm walking. You don't know what I'm going through. How can you tell me that it's going to be okay? And the way they tell me is based on the Bible. They say that God is going to take care of you and He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And so that's what they're sharing with me. But I hear a person tell me it's going to be okay. Well, the person got me into this, which was probably me. But as I start this passage, it says, but thus saith the Lord. Man, this is not my best friend. This is not my wife. This is not my kid telling me, hey, it's going to be okay. Thus says the Lord. God is the one that's saying what we're about to go over. So don't take it saying Pastor Steve said or Sunday school teacher or somebody else said this, because this is what God said to him. And he wrote it down. He says, but thus saith the Lord. The one who created you, remember Him? The God that created you? I think about this all the time, and I'm blessed today to have more of my kids here than normal. Still got a couple that are out of town, but hey, I'll take what I can get. But you know what? Nobody loves those kids more than me and their mom. Now, grandparents are really, really close. And some of you that are grandparents say, oh, you don't even know. We've passed you up. But right now, I'm not a grandparent, hint, hint. But when I get there, then maybe I can compare. But I know that in my heart of hearts, I don't think anybody can love these people over here more than I do. And there's nobody that can love your kids more than you do. And when I stop and I think about that, and I think, God says, man, I created you. It's not just I knew you. It's not just I come to meet you. I've got acquainted with you. He said, I created you. Man, nobody can love a creation more than the Creator. We forget that. We know that God loves. Yeah, I know God loves me. I've known that song all my life. God loves me. God loves the little children. I understand that. But we don't let it sink in. That the one who created us loves us. Man, when I paint a picture or when I make something out of clay or out of wood, I see every little blemish. And I see it and I think, man, they're not going to like this because it's got a notch out of it here, or because it's not taking stain there, or it's got a crack in it here. And as the creator of this box, I know every fault it has. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, this is the best I can do. But you know what? When God saw me, He saw all my cracks, all my failures, and He said, man, I love you. Just exactly the way you are. Because every crack in me, every bald part of my head, God knows exactly where I'm at. He made me that way. And nobody can love me more than Him. My wife loves me more than anybody on the face of this earth, but that's not on the face of this earth. God loves me even more. When we get into this passage, understand that nobody is going to love you more than the Creator. And He is the one talking about this. He's going to go ahead and give some more credentials. He says, I formed you. And He's talking about, again, Jacob and Israel, how he chose them and how He formed them because he picked them and He loved them. But you know, He did the same thing for us. And this is the God that formed you. And going back to that box analogy, I don't just throw four pieces of wood together. I put it together the way I want it. But you know, when God formed me, when He formed all of us, He did it in such a way that was power. Think about that. He took dust from the ground and He molded and He formed this body. And then He breathed into it the breath of life. Man, that's power. That the fact that He formed us and He breathed into us the breath of life. That's power. So we've got this creation, this love, and we've got this power that, to be able to form us. Nobody cares more for you. Nobody has more power over your situation than God does. But I lose track of that. You lose track of that because I'm going through life and I feel my knees ache and I feel all the problems and I think of all the things that could be or should be and they're not. And I start thinking about that and I think, how can I control this? How can I overcome this? But I don't have to. I don't have to because the one that created me, the one that didn't just throw me together, He formed me. The Bible says He formed us. He knew us before He even formed us, but then He formed us the way He wanted us. Nobody's going to love me. Nobody's going to have more power over me than that. And so He's given us His credentials. It's the Lord saying this. He's created us. He's formed us. But man, here is the part I love. You ever done that? Try to scroll up on your Bible? It doesn't work. Just so you know. It does on the iPad, but when you slide that page, it doesn't do a thing. Just so you know. It doesn't get any bigger either. That's the problem, I think. But, you know, it says right there, fear not. And like I said earlier, I've got friends and I have family that say, hey, don't worry, fear not. Don't worry about the situation. God's got it under control. But here God is saying, fear not. Fear not what you're about to face. Fear not what you have no control over. Fear not those things that scare you to death. And this is why He tells us we don't have to fear. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Man, doesn't get any better than that. He took and He formed us. He made us. He created us. And then when I went and walked my own way, He bought me back. To be redeemed is to be bought back. To have a price paid for me so that I could be owned again. And that price was the blood of Jesus. Man, if He's going to redeem something, He's going to care about it. It's one thing for me to make a box or to make a clay pot or to paint a picture and put it up. But I'm not buying it back. I might care about it. I might be proud of it, but I'm not going to buy it back. I can just make another one. But God loved me too much. He loved you too much to let you walk away in the sin of our life that He sent Jesus to redeem us. He paid the price to buy me back. He wanted me to be reconciled to Him. And He paid that price to redeem me. So I don't have to fear because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. He goes on in that same passage. He says, fear not, for I've redeemed you, but I have called you by name. Man. You know, so many times I think back to when I was growing up, and believe it or not, I do not look like my sister. Okay? But my mom would go to holler at me, and her first name that would come out of her mouth would be my sister's. And I would go to holler at Josh or Hannah, and the first name that would come out would be Nathan. That's the way parents do. We know them by name. And it's even worse when I say Nathaniel Thomas. When that second name comes in, you know you better be paying attention. You've done crossed the line, right? We have names for a reason. This says that God called me by name. God loved me enough. God created me. He paid for me. He calls me by name. We can go through the New Testament and we can find places where it said He knows everything about you. In the Old Testament, He talks about how many days you're going to be alive. New Testament, how many hairs you have on your head. All these things of how He knows us. But He called you by name. Now, I can create a lot of boxes, but I'm not going to name them. And it's kind of like somebody that has a big herd of cows. What do? They put that tag in their ear that's got the number on it. Well, that's number 437. It's a number. It's nothing personal. It's because you're going to eat it later, but there's nothing personal. But when God gave me a name, it became personal from Him to me. It became personal from Him to me because I was no longer that scrawny little kid that was born in Stockton, Missouri. It's now Steve. He's my child. When God gave me a name, it became personal from Him to me. The God of the universe created everything, hung the stars in space, and even knows them by name, cares enough to call me by name. And it goes on at the end of that verse, I've redeemed you, I've called you by name, and you are mine. You're mine. Possession is what? Come on, somebody say it. Okay. Possession is 9/10 of the law. I don't think that's out there. Don't try that. But possession is huge. But think about the fact that ownership is what we're talking about here. I belong to Him. You're mine because I created you, I formed you, I redeemed you, I called you by name because you're mine. Why does the God of the universe want me? Why does He want me? Why does He call me by name? Why is He proud that I'm His? He loves you that much. So much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. That you are His. Did you wake up this morning and just say, you know, I belong to God. I'm a child of God. And not just a child of God, and I don't mean to put that down in any way, but you are His child. Every parent out here is going to say something, you know, when you've got a child, it's like, that's my child. Unless, of course, it's one of those times when you say, that's my wife's child. Those happen occasionally, but not very often. But as we look at this passage, He tells us why we don't have to fear. And then He goes into, but that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Okay, let's stop right there. We're not going to get into the rest of the verse yet. When, that means, not if, when. That means it's going to happen. When you pass through the waters. Now this is referring back to, giving a remembrance back to when they passed through the Red Sea. And He said, when you pass through the Red Sea, I was with you. That's what this is referring to. But it's also saying, when you pass through waters. You know, very few things have as much power as water. We can get power from water. But as you look at this, He says, when you pass through the waters, you're not going to have to stay there. Man, there are so many times that I just feel like my Red Sea is going on and on and on for days. But even if it goes on for days and days and days, I will eventually pass through it. Not only will I eventually pass through it, but He says, when you pass through those waters, I will be with you. Man, when their back was up against the wall and Pharaoh's army was coming and they didn't see that they had anything that they could do, he says, be still and just watch the Lord fight for you. God is going to fight for you. You just keep going. And that's exactly what happened. And when I get to a point, or you get to a point that our back is against the wall and we feel like every army in the world is against us, I will be with you. When it seems like there's no way out, I will be with you. And it says, through the waters, or through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And they crossed through the Jordan River. And if you've ever stepped into a river that was moving, you can feel the strength of that. And if you get into a river that's deep enough and you get up to where the fact that your feet are not touching the ground and that current is still moving, you feel like you're a cork. You're just bobbing up and down. Your head may go under. You may feel like you're out of control. But God says, you're not going to be overwhelmed. Because again, I'm with you. You're going to go through some times where there's something that's got more power than you do. That river has more power than me. And when I step in the middle of it, it's going to sweep me away if I go on my own. But he says here, he says, the river, they're not going to overwhelm you. They can, but they're not going to because I'm going to be with you. Then he says, when you walk through the fire, we've all been there, that fire that refines us, that fire that purifies us, that fire that we don't like. We're going through situations, we're going through times and troubles that just want to heat us up to see how we're going to respond. And God will use those to purify us and to bring those impurities to the top. And sometimes those impurities aren't so good when they come to the top. But when we go through the fire, we will not be burned. And the flame shall not consume us. You know, in the Bible, the flame, it talks about a couple different things. One is refining, the other is judgment. I believe this last one here is talking about judgment. It says that when judgment comes, when the flame comes, when the fire comes, when that judgment comes, it shall not consume you. Jesus Christ has took my judgment, my eternal judgment. Yes, I'll still stand before God for what I've not done as a Christian. But I will not be consumed with judgment because Jesus Christ has paid the price for me. And so if we can look back at these two verses right here, and we know that it's God saying that He created us, He formed us, we don't have to fear because He redeemed us, He called us by name, and we are His. When we walk through the water, He's going to be with us. Through the river, it's not going to overwhelm us. Through the fire, we will not be burned. And even through judgment, He's going to be there for us. He's taking care of it. Then life ought to be great, right? This last verse is key to everything we've talked about. If you want all of that stuff in verse 1 and 2, then you better listen close to verse 3. Verse 3 says, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." He says, God is speaking, and He's saying, I am the Lord your God. So my question is to you, all of these things, if you want all of those things, then this has to apply to you. I am the Lord your God. If He's not my God, then none of these things apply to me. And when the water comes, when the rivers come, when the fire comes, when judgment comes, it's all on me. He says, I am the Lord your God. It's got to be personal now from me to Him. You know, earlier He named me. It got personal from Him to me. But at some point, it's got to be personal from me to Him. He's got to be my God. All through the Bible, He's always wanted to be the God of the children of Israel. He says, I'll be your God and you be my people. Well, there were times when, yeah, they were still His people, but they weren't walking right. But man, He has always been God. He's always been there for them. And that's the first part of that next verse. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Man, that means He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that walked them through the wilderness. The God that pulled them out of the fire. The God that rescued them in the lion's den. The God that spoke on the road to Damascus. The Holy One of Israel. That's who's speaking. That's who's saying all of these things. The very last part. The Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I don't know if He's your Savior or not. I don't know if He's your God. And I want you to have all these things, but it comes down to, is He your Lord and Savior? Now, for some of you sitting out here, I know you're saying, Brother Steve, I've been a Christian longer than you've been alive, and I understand that. And so I want you to look at this passage this way. How long has it been since you praised God for those three things? That He has redeemed you. He knows you by name. And you are His. Because if you and I walk our life the way we're supposed to, and I'm down here at the coffee shop, or I'm at a ball game, or I'm at the grocery store, and I am praising God for the fact that He has redeemed me. I am praising God for the fact that He knows my name. I am praising God for the fact that I am His. That's going to affect somebody around me. I should be praising Him for the fact that He's done these things. And when I go through the waters, through the river, through the flames and the fire, I should be praising Him that I don't have to go through it alone. I should be praising Him for the fact that He lets me know ahead of time, I'm going to be with you. Or maybe you've seen these things, you've heard about these things, but you've never made these things personal. You've never come to a point that He has become your Lord and your Savior. Man, I want Him so much to be with me, because I know that the waters are coming. I know the fire's coming. I want Him to be there for me. Then you've got to make it personal. He knows your name. Do you know Him? And that's your opportunity. So this morning, three things. One, if you know Him already, then praise Him for these things. If you don't know Him, make it personal today. And then for those of us, and this is probably everybody, when we're going through those times, maybe you're in the middle of the river, maybe you're backed up against the sea, maybe you are going through that fire, please understand that this passage is written to you, that you are not in it alone. He has somebody with you. Have you ever wondered, just one of those thoughts that just went, so if you don't like it, ignore it, but have you ever wondered why there were three guys in that fiery furnace? Maybe, just maybe, those guys drew strength from each other. They all three knew the same thing. They all knew that their God was capable of saving them. But maybe one wasn't a speaker. Maybe one was just a doer. Maybe another one was a speaker. Maybe another one was just prayer support. We have each other for a reason. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, I thank You for the fact that You know us. And Lord, even in knowing me, You still love me. Lord, I pray that this message would fall on hearts that need to hear, motivate us to be what You want us to be. God, I am so glad that You hanging on to us instead of us hanging on to You. I thank you and praise you for the love of Jesus.